Our subject is Consider Christ Jesus. Consider Christ Jesus. And our text is Hebrews 3, verse 1. Now, there are many verses in the Bible that I could have selected as a text for this topic. Consider Christ Jesus. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God with power, and Jesus Christ, the Son of Man with perfection, is the theme of the Bible. Moses, he said, wrote of me. Abraham saw my day. The scripture says in Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness. And our Lord said to the religious people of his day, you search the scriptures. And they did. They were students of the scripture. But he said, in the scriptures you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me. The scriptures testify of me. So I could have selected any number of verses from the Word of God on this subject, consider Christ Jesus, but I selected this one. Now you listen to it. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, speaking to believers, partakers of the holy calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Brethren, those who have been called by the Holy Spirit, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, those who have been brought to his precious feet as believers, consider Christ Jesus. Consider him. Christ is the theme. Christ is supreme. Sweeter he grows. Glory he bestows. Bright as the sun ever he glows. Christ is the theme. Eternal theme. Paul said, I preach Christ. I preach Christ. But this is our text. Now listen to it again. Consider the apostle and high priest. You consider him who is the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now usually when you tell a congregation that you've got an 8-point message, it scares everybody to death because they don't know how long they're going to be there. But you know how long I'm going to be here. At 11:30, I go off. So I've got 8 points, and I'll get them all in. Now, you follow me. We're going to consider Christ Jesus. Consider Christ Jesus. First of all, we're going to consider him as the creating Christ. John chapter 1, verse 3 says, all things were made by him. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And Paul in Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. And then in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, listen to this scripture. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now listen to the next line. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made this world. All things were made by him. The creating Christ. Our Lord created the angels, all of the heavenly beings and heavenly messengers. He put the sun in place. He hung the stars in space. He spread out the valleys. He lifted up the mountains. He made the rivers and the seas. He created man in his own image. In Revelation 4, verse 11, the scripture says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and are created. We could take this whole program just considering Christ the Creator. Christ the Creator, the creating Christ. Everything that's made, he made. And according to his own divine wisdom and for his own pleasure, go out yonder where this universe ends and come this way and all of the planets and stars and sun and moon and earth and nature and trees and men, God, animals, fish, flies, God made them in the person of His Son. Consider Christ Jesus. And then consider this, oh miracle of miracles. Consider the cradled Christ. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, unto you is born a Savior. These angels are speaking to the shepherds on the Judean hillside. And we bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger cradle. In a manger cradle. Jesus Christ, the Ancient of Days, became an infant of days. God, who created all things, clothed in human flesh. God, who is infinite, unlimited, is now limited in the confines of a fleshly body. He who made man is now made in the likeness of man. He who created the angels is now made lower than the angels. He who said, before Abraham was, I am, was born 2,000 years after Abraham. He who was David's Lord is now David's son. He who was Abraham's Savior is now Abraham's seed. He who was rich, infinitely rich, became infinitely poor. Miracle of miracles. You understand that? I don't understand it. I believe it. I believe it. There's nobody who can understand that. There's nobody who can explain that. God Almighty, who was before all things and by whom all things were made, God Almighty, whom the universe cannot contain, but rather is contained in God. The heaven of heavens can't contain Him. This flesh contains Him. When was Christ made flesh? Look at Galatians 4, verse 4. When was He made flesh? In the fullness of time, in God's appointed time, when it pleased the Father. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. How was He made flesh? Read that same text. Made of a woman. Made of a woman. He came forth from the womb of a woman. Why was He made flesh? Read that text. Made under the law to redeem those who were born under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Consider the cradle Christ. Simeon saw Him and he said, now I'm ready to die because I've seen God's salvation. The cradle infant. The Ancient of Days becomes the infant of days. Consider Christ Jesus. Consider Christ Jesus the healing Christ. Listen to Mark 1, 32, 34. And at evening, when the sun was setting, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and He healed them. Our Lord Jesus Christ met blind men and gave them sight. Our Lord Jesus Christ met dumb men and made them talk. Our Lord Jesus Christ met crippled men and made them walk. Our Lord Jesus Christ met deaf men and made them hear. Our Lord met crazy men and made them sane. Our Lord met lepers and cleansed them as white as snow. Our Lord met a human need and He supplied it. And our Lord never faced a storm that He couldn't calm. Christ the healer. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because you don't go forth and shake people's heads and make merchandise of folks and pass out wash tubs to get your offering doesn't mean you don't believe that God heals people. The Word of God teaches that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's not only the healer of sin's diseases, but He's the healer of bodily diseases. Listen to the Word of God. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? You believers, any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Our Lord is the same, considering Christ the healer. And when John the Baptist needed some assurance that he was the Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, our Lord sent this word to John. He said, you go back to John, you messengers, you go back to John and you tell him that the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear and the dead are raised. And you tell him to not to be faithless, but to believe. But to believe. Consider Christ Jesus. Yes, he does heal. That's what Scripture says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth thy diseases. It's not a commercial healing. And it's not a power given to a man to make him wealthy. And it's not a power given to a man to make fools out of people. And it's not a power given to man to go out and to misuse and to deny means which God uses. God may heal without means, but God also uses means. Consider Christ the healer. And then consider the prophet Christ Jesus. You know, people come to the preacher and they say, preacher, show us God. I can't do it. Preacher, put us in touch with God. I can't do it. Preacher, reveal unto us God. I can't do it. But Christ can. And Christ did. He is Christ, the communication of God. That's right. The Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What are words? Words are a form of communication. I have a thought in my head or in my heart, and I want you to know what I'm thinking. So how do I reveal to you what I'm thinking? I use words, vehicles of thought. And that's why Christ is called the Word of God. If God wants us to know what he thinks, if God wants us to know who he is, if God wants us to know how he operates, he's going to do it through the Word. And the Word is Jesus Christ. Consider Christ Jesus. He is the communication of God. Philip said to the Lord Jesus, show us the Father. And our Lord said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. They asked, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on me whom God hath sent. They said, let us see God. Let us see the work of God. Let us hear the words of God. And Christ said, the works that I do are the works of him that sent me. The words that I speak are the words of him that sent me. And when he went into Gethsemane's garden, he prayed, I have glorified thee, Father, on this earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. Fifthly, consider Christ, the criticized one. He was despised. He was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. My friend, I can say this to you. As a believer, there's no valley through which you can go where Christ has not already been. There is no trial that you can endure which Christ has not already endured. There's no sorrow that you can bear that he has not already borne. There's no experience that you can have that he hasn't already had. He was tested in all points as we are, yet without sin. That's the reason he can be a sympathizing high priest. touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Listen to it. They called him a blasphemer. He said, many good works have I done among you. For which of these do you stone me? They said, we're not stoning you for doing good works. We're stoning you for blasphemy. You say that you're God and you're nothing but a man. They called him a winebibber. They called him a drunk. They called him a gluttonous man. They accused him of keeping bad company. They said, why, this man receiveth sinners and eats with them. This man's the friend of sinners. He keeps bad company. They charged him with insanity. One of them said, why, he's beside himself. They called him a liar. That's right. They said, you bear record of yourself and your record's not true. They accused him of being in league with Satan. Why, they said, you're casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of the devil. They assembled false witnesses against him and accused him of treason. The highest crime they could think of, treason. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood and sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Consider Christ Jesus. Criticized, hated, despised, rejected, mocked. Finally taken out outside of the city because they were too religious to kill him inside the walls of the city. Took him outside the city wall, outside the camp, and they nailed him to a cross. And I want you to consider the crucified Christ. Luke chapter 23, verse 33 said, and when they were come to a place which is called Calvary or Golgotha, there they crucified him. Now, while we consider the crucified Christ, I want your undivided attention just for a moment. Listen to me. Nobody out there listening to me, and nobody in this studio listening to me, has any idea or can even imagine what a cross meant 1900 years ago. There's no way you can imagine what it meant to die on a cross. Death by hanging, death by drowning, death by stoning, death by a sword was an act of mercy compared to death on a cross. Death by crucifixion didn't begin on the cross. It began down there in the soldier's hall where a man was lacerated with a cat of nine tails, with leather whips, 39 lashes, with pieces of metal and pieces of glass tied in those leather straps. And as they raked that cat of nine tails across the victim's back, the flesh and the blood was thrown against the opposite wall. And then he was taken out to a cross, and there he was nailed or tied to that cross. And it was a lingering death. It was a death that lasted for hours and hours and, yea, even days. That's the reason they came and wanted to take him down from the cross, wanted to make sure he was dead, because it was approaching their Sabbath day. And they were too religious to have their victim hanging out there on the cross over their Sabbath day. That was a holy day. We wouldn't want that fella to be screaming while we was in church worshiping God, you know. It lasted for hours. And two horrible facts were always present in crucifixion. Two. Two supreme facts. One, it was great suffering. Indescribable suffering. The other, it was great shame. Shame. He endured the cross, despising the what? Shame. They stripped the victim naked and left him to hang up there and writhe in agony and before the staring multitude. That's the way you see these pictures of Christ on the cross with the loincloth. Not so. There's no beautiful scenes, a horrible scene. It's a scene of suffering and a scene of shame. But I'll tell you this, when you go to Calvary, and I've been there, I'm not talking about going over there to what they call the Holy Land and walking up on a commercialized hill that they call Calvary. I'm talking about going to Calvary in your heart by faith. And with eyes of faith and a heart of faith, see Christ dying for your sins. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary, not on a Holy Land tour, but through the witness of His Word. Each day at Calvary, what a thrill of love divine, just to think, just to feel, just to know that that Savior's mine. And there in that horrible, suffering, shameful, agonizing death, I see four things vividly. I see, number one, how God hates sin. Now, if you want to see how God hates sin, you go to Calvary. That's His Son. That's His only begotten, well-beloved Son. And if God spared not His own Son, because His Son was made sin for us, do you think that He will spare the rebels who reject His Son and despise His Son and hate His law? God hates sin. God hates sin worse than He hates hell, because He made hell punish sin. And another thing I see there, I see the love of God for sinners. I see both. Somebody says, you can't preach both. I can, because they're both there. God hates sin. And I see the love of God for sinners. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ, His Son, died for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. I see something else there. I see the justice of God satisfied. I see the debt paid. Jesus paid it all the debt I owed, an effectual, particular offering. That's right. I'm not ashamed to say that. I want you to understand it. Our Lord didn't go to that shameful, agonizing place of torture and shame to make an effort to do anything. He went there to get a job done. And when He came away, He said, it's finished. It's finished. There the justice of God was satisfied. There the debt was paid. There every sin of every believer of every generation was put away, separated from us as far as the east is from the west, cast behind the back of God into the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. Annihilated. My old nature's not annihilated, but my sin is. And then fourthly, I see the debt of sin fully paid, fully paid. There is no installment due. You ever had those little books, those installment books, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, 36 months? Isn't it wonderful when you get down to the last one? You got a 24-month book, and you paid 23 of them, but there's one left. And you're still in debt. Now, you can kick up your heels and talk about I've paid 23 of them, but you still got one. And it must be paid. It must be paid. And the debt's not canceled. They won't stamp that thing paid in full till you bring that last payment. Our Lord didn't pay most of it. He paid all of it. All the debt I owe. We got to hurry. In the seventh place, consider the risen Christ. The Scripture says that when Joseph died, being 110 years old, they embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph was put in a coffin in Egypt, and he's still there. That's been a long time ago. Joseph, lover of God, Joseph, man of God, Joseph, servant of God, died, and they put him in a coffin in Egypt, and he's still there. They took our Lord down from that cross, of whom Joseph was a type. And they put our Lord not in a coffin, but in a tomb. He borrowed a tomb. There was a man who had a tomb in which man had never laid. And they put him in that tomb. And on that third day, the morning of the third day, the first day of the week, when the women came to the tomb to pay their respects, the angels met them and they asked him a question. Do you know what it was? They asked him a question. They said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? We don't worship a dead Christ. We don't worship a body on a cross. We don't worship a man in a tomb. We don't worship a dead Christ. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. The risen Christ. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor over the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. If Christ be not risen," Paul said, "you're yet in your sins. If Christ be not risen," Paul said, "there's no resurrection of the dead. If Christ be not risen, you're a false witness, and so am I. And if Christ be not risen, we are of all men most miserable. But thank God he is risen. The victorious, conquering Christ is risen, and it's evident from the fact of his resurrection that the Father hath accepted his work. If the Father had not accepted his offering, his sacrifice, he never would have put his seal of approval upon it by raising him from the grave. And it's evident from his resurrection that we who trusted in him shall also rise. For we were chosen in him, redeemed in him, risen in him, seated in him. He said, because I live, you shall live." Now in the eighth place and closing, consider the coming Christ. Those disciples went out there on the mountain as our Lord arose, ascended back to the Father. And while they stood there and watched, and the clouds received him out of their sight, the angels appeared and said, "Ye men of Galilee, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." The coming Christ. Consider Christ Jesus. These tapes are available on cassette reels at a small charge. If you'd like to have them, write to us at the address given to you by the announcer. Until next Lord's Day, I bid you a very pleasant good day.